Okay, sir. The next voice you will hear is our panel lead, Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Okay, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Ramirez?
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Eleuterio Ramirez, 143765.
Thank you, sir. We are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is for a 412B parole, which is a parole to a consecutive sentence or absolute discharge today.
Mm-hmm.
And you became eligible for these on July 14th of last year, of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to introduce you to the board that's hearing your case today. We have the Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Lee Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing.
Okay.
So I'll just start with a summary, Mr. Ramirez, and I may ask you if I have some of these facts correct. You're 56 years old now, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you're serving 10 years for the crime of, it looks like, sexual abuse. And you have a consecutive, two consecutive sentences for sexual conduct with a minor. And those will be 20 years, those two sentences. And it looks like you've already expired a 7-year sentence for molestation of a child. Or was that possibly attempted molestation?
That was 17 years, right?
Oh, 17. I'm sorry. I can't read my own writing. You're right. Okay, sir. So 17, but that one's expired, right?
Okay.
Okay. These crimes occurred in January of 1989, June of 1994, and July of 1995. And you approximately, you would have been in your early 30s at that time, sir? Is that right?
I believe so.
Okay. And you were convicted by a jury trial on February 16, 1999, and sentenced on April 21st, 1999. And you did appeal your conviction, but your conviction was upheld on March 16th of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have, in your past, you have some criminal history dating back to 1984. You had lots of arrests for DUI and trespassing and those types of things. In 1994, when you had a DUI and there was a marijuana charge, theft, and burglary, and then there's the present offenses that you're incarcerated for. And it looks like while you've been in prison, you've only had one major in all this time, sir. That's pretty commendable. We see a lot of people who have a lot more prison discipline than that, sir. Do you remember what that major was about?
It was dirty UA.
Okay. So,
I did took that to appeal on that because it was terminated.
Uh-huh.
I never did any drugs in prison or in jail since I've been locked up.
Huh. And so what happened on the appeal?
Well, they just keep denying it because the warden said he didn't care. He just wanted to not have a guilty case. He had it was about 10 or 11 guys at the time that got dirty way. Even one guy just barely got in the yard two days.
Okay. Okay. All right, but you say you haven't used drugs or alcohol.
No, ma'am. Never since I got locked up in the county.
Okay. But you do have one in 2016 in March for disobeying a verbal. That was a minor. Do you remember what that was?
2016?
Yeah, 2016 in March. I'll see. Maybe I have some notes on that. Let me look in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was when I had my face covered when they came in to do count.
Okay.
It was at 4 in the morning, 4 or 3 in the morning, somewhere in that. Because they have the lights on.
Right, and they have to see your face, right?
Yeah, and I have my face covered mostly all night long. And that's
okay. All right, sir, thank you. All right, and this is your second hearing, I think, before the board.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your third, let me know. Second or third?
This is my second.
This is your second, okay. All right. And it looks like you've done some programs too, sir. You've done Thinking for Change, Cultural Diversity, GED, Design for Living, Smart Recovery, and Substance Abuse Education. Those are all good, given that you had all the DUIs back in the past. And,
yes.
And you say you don't use drugs or alcohol, so that's a good thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Looks like you've also done the sex offender pretreatment. Are you involved in that still?
No, because I have too much time, and they're trying to take the guy that had 5 years or less.
Okay. The one that released him earlier. All right. But you did the pretreatment.
Yes, sir.
And how did you find that? Was that helpful to you?
It was just basic things, just telling you where you were, how you were vibing being drunk, you know, or going to nightclubs and stuff like that.
Okay.
It wasn't nothing major.
Okay, you didn't get into too much detail then in that.
Just the basic to the table when you start doing the class. Okay. And what's going to happen when you get through.
Okay, kind of an orientation then, maybe.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Okay, and it looks like, sir, you have 3 letters of support in your packet, which is a good thing. And we don't have anyone here today, sir, and no one on the telephone. Was anybody, did you want any of your family to participate, or?
Yeah, I let them know last week. Well, I let my sister know last week, okay. And she said she was going to try because she was working at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, work at the.
And she must have had to work because she's not here today.
Yeah, and my brother-in-law, he probably was at work at the same time, and
okay.
My sister, because he said they were going to try to get the day off if they can.
Okay. Well, it looks like maybe they just couldn't get the day off, so. So, okay. Well, we haven't really talked about the crime itself, sir, but why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened? This crime involves your 15-year-old daughter. Was she your natural daughter or your stepdaughter?
My natural daughter.
She was your natural daughter. So, Mr. Ramirez, tell us what happened.
At the time that when all this event, she was living with me, her mom and me were separated,
uh-huh.
And I had my other daughter, my younger daughter, staying with me because she ran away from her mom, and then she decided to come over with her sister, and then they ran away from the mom. They took off. So when they got back, 3 days later, I had grounded them for 3 weeks without no phone and cut their allowance money.
So it was you and 2 daughters? One was the 15-year-old, and how old was the other one?
The other one was 13, I believe,
13.
At the time.
Okay, so it's you and the 2 daughters, and they're grounded.
Yes, they were grounded at the time, and she was getting mad because I kept taking the phone away from her.
Right, okay.
And then, next year, I know there was cops there, and I got picked up from work.
Well, what happened, though? Why would there just be police?
Huh?
What happened?
Well, see, I thought I was getting picked up from my warrants from the DUI and possession of uh-huh. my warrant at the time. At the last charge I had. And then when I got picked up, they were telling me that I was getting accused for it. Well, that discharges that I'm in here now.
Right.
So when I told them what happened and all that, what's going on with them, and I've been fighting with her and her mom because they want to live a certain way, and I have certain rules that they have to live by if they're in my house.
So, sir, you're very specific. They're very specific. Situations and instances described by the victim, including very specific things that you did, and yet those didn't happen. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's why I took it to trial. I had 8 charges, and they dismissed, I beat 4 of them, and the jury got threatened to come with the verdict. Because it's been, I think, about a week since they were writing, because there was someone with green and someone odd.
Mm-hmm.
So they just came down with the verdict of the 4 charges that I got now. that I had. And that's why I took it to trial, because I was fighting for my case. I could have took a plea bargain for 5 years and been out.
So
for tax charges, and I didn't do that because I wanted to take it to trial and get this taken care of. I didn't want this in my record.
Mr. Ramirez, why would your daughter make up these very specific accusations, including, you know, sitting on a sofa and force kneeling on the floor in front of her and forcibly opening her legs? And
that's what I was trying to get her to tell me, why she did
When I talked to her
on the phone in the county and I asked her about that, she just said she said that it get me in trouble.
Well, there are many, many of these described.
Yes,
how would she even know to make these things up?
I have no idea, ma'am. I really don't know. But they figured out that they can get me in trouble any way they can without. She even accused her son's dad of doing the same thing, trying to do her the same thing to her. She accused my mom's husband, that's no longer alive, for the same thing. She was just using this on and on.
So, Mr. Ramirez, you're in prison, but you didn't do this?
No, that's why I'm trying to fight it. I'm trying to see if I can get my charge recharged.
Okay.
Get the concurrent or.
But you appealed your conviction. I mean, the jury found you guilty, and then you appealed, and then that appeal was upheld.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, that appeal. I didn't even know that the lawyer was already doing the appeal on it, because even the judge, when he had sentenced me. He had told me, I goes, I know they're lying, but I have to sentence you because you were found guilty by the jury.
The judge said that to you?
Yes, ma'am. He had put it on record and said that I know they're lying, but I have to convince you because that you were already found guilty. And when I seen the priestess and the reporter, she even wanted me to put me on probation after I lost my trial. And she goes, no, you don't need to go to prison, you need to just be on probation because you have nothing charged in the past of this type.
Right, you do not.
I didn't have it because I didn't do none of that, but she was trying to give me probation. She recommended probation for me to have at that time.
Okay. I'm looking at your court documents right now just to see if the judge made any sort of notes like that.
That was on my right of my sentences when he said that.
Right during your sentencing. Yes, I'm reading that, and there's just no indication. They did dismiss counts 6, 7, and 8, and 5, it looks like. Or you were not guilty on count 5.
Mm-hmm.
So this was just four counts, right? That would account for all of these.
Yes.
Okay, sir. All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. Ramirez? Mr. Quinones has a question for you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Ramirez?
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. Your attorney was involved in the appeal. Is that correct?
I had another attorney. It wasn't the same attorney.
How would you not know that there was an appeal? This was your case.
When I asked for the, when I asked, because I was going to put in the Rule 32, and then when I got a letter, they gave me a legal call, and he had told me that I already put the appeal in for you. And I go, well, I didn't know you were putting me a appeal in, that I didn't even know I had a change of lawyer at the time. So when he told me you put the appeal in, but you can do it yourself if you like. And that's when he sent me all my court records, and I was trying to do my Rule 32 at the time. And I got denied on my Rule 32 because he said he already did the appeal in it.
Okay, sir. My other question is, I guess you really can't answer this, and I'm certainly not trying to play games with you. I'm trying to figure out, after jury trial, why a judge would say that he or she knew the witnesses were lying. How would the judge know that one way or the other?
By the evidence that they were showing him, but because I guess he was in the hospital one time take pills and stuff, and she said something to the nurses there, and it was on the evidence. And then when the lawyer gave it to her to read it out and told her that she said that, she said, "No, I never said those things."
Okay, sir. Thank
and
you.
That's when he said that.
Thank you for your insights. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Mr. Ramirez, were there ever any other victims?
None of the one that I had was my other daughter. She said that to help out my older daughter, and my other niece, she said that, but it was confusing for me from her other uncle that was living with them.
Okay, and those were the counts that were dismissed?
That one of them was from her, and the other one was from the other one, and then there was two from the one I got in the case now, I believe.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, Mr. Ramirez, Mr. Johnson, do you have any questions? Okay. Mr. Ramirez, we're coming up on the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. If there's anything else that you thought of while we were talking that you would want the board to consider, sir, is there anything else?
I'm just concerned that I'm trying to get my life together in here. I'm trying to program everything that they have here. I did all the programming. All I'm trying to do is get up so I can get my life together and be a person, not the where I was before, but a better person than I am now. And just be a citizen of the state instead of being a burden on the state that I am right now. That's all I'm trying to do, just get my life together and live in. I have not seen my family since I've been, well, most of them. You know, my mom already passed away this last year, and I just, you know, I missed that. I didn't get to see her in the funeral. I just want to be on, do my life out there.
Okay.
But I know I might ask your mercies right now.
Okay, Mr. Ramirez, thank you for your statement. The board is going to go into discussion, sir. You may remember this from your other hearings. And we do all our discussion in public, and we haven't discussed it before right this moment, because we wanted to have our conversation with you first. So just remain on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be with you in just a moment. Okay,
yes, sir?
Thank you. The board's now in discussion. Mr. Ramirez has expressed a desire to, you know, get on with his life, and I certainly understand that, and he wants to stop being a burden to the state, which is a good thing. And at this time, he's eligible for a parole to his next consecutive sentence, which would be sexual conduct with a minor for 20 years. He has completed some programming, quite a bit of programming to address his addictions. His addiction is alcohol and drug, just alcohol, I guess it is. And he started the sex offender pretreatment, but cannot get involved in that until he has less time on his sentence. So it's kind of one of these catch-22 things. He can't start the treatment until he has less time, and we'd like to see him start the treatment or be in treatment. He still has two 20-year sentences to go, which means he does have the sentence end date of July 4th, 2063. At this point, I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for parole to the next sentence. He has indicated he's pursuing some sort of action to possibly get his sentences either run concurrent or reduced in some way. But I'm not seeing him as a good candidate at this point. I would listen to any input of fellow board members. Seeing no input, I'm going to make a motion then that we deny parole to a next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And based on the year of the crimes, I would recommend a one-year set-off.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second, Mr. Tinellis. Agreed, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Neal. Reasons, oh, I'm sorry, release type denied is 412B and 411. Reasons for denial, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, victim harassment, I'm going to say victim harassment. I'm going to say substance abuse because he certainly seems to have addressed that. Definitely good behavior in the institution, very good. He did have a recent disciplinary. He had a discipline in 2016, so I'm going to mark that one. I'm going to say lack of programming because he hasn't been able to address the sexual offense. And poor no release plan because he's not really eligible for release. And there's no, he did have people that might be here today, but they were not able to be here. So we don't even have letters really from them, current letters from them. So any other reasons that board members would like to check? Okay, Mr. Ramirez, back to you. The board has voted to deny parole to your next consecutive sentence, sir. And did you hear the reasons for your denial?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. The department will certify you then to come again before this board in about a year, sir. And we look forward to seeing you then. Good luck in the meantime with trying to get yourself into some programming. That would be an important thing. Whatever programming you can get involved in, sir. So in the meantime, we wish you the best. And thank you so much for being so respectful during your hearing. And we'd appreciate if you'd give the phone back to the CO3.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Your hearing is concluded.
You have a good day.
Thank you. You too.